This is the Mutual Audio Network. Shut up and listen.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance recommended.
This podcast is a serial narrative, a story told episode by episode. Consequently, your listening journey would be best begun at the beginning. That's Carver Cranebottom, Bone Detective, Episode 1.
It is the year 2015, and life has lost all meaning. What once was up is down. What once was right is wrong. And those who dare to make a podcast which subversively reanimates the dead art of radio theater are considered dangerous criminal outcasts. Driven into exile, four pungent brigands risk their lives to broadcast from a South Seas barge crudely fashioned from the disintegrating corpse of an ancient titan and several thousand yards of cooking twine to bring you the triumph, the majesty, the sublimity of rude alchemy.
Previously on Carver Cranebottom, Bone Detective.
I heard the screams around the time the thunderstorm rolled in.
And you say there is only one surviving witness?
Let's have a look at that cipher of yours.
What? No! Ah! He's thrown himself from the window.
Slash, slice, sink, or sliver, the tickler's grin will deliver.
What's in there?
A half-moon-shaped blade. Dear God. The tickler's grin from Dr. Danderduff's cipher.
You're wanted for the murder of Dr. Danderduff.
You're going to have to hide out. Go to the Inn of the Circling Serpent in Grubgate. It's safe there. You are his very image. He then produced a terrible-looking blade and slashed at the woman.
Does she mean
the tickler's grin?
You've been officially exonerated of Dr. Danderduff's murder. A man came down to the station and turned himself in.
The professor is no longer here. He was visited by a woman. I'd wager she used an excavating tool.
To Cornelius Ackerman's shop.
Your famous dredge mattock, the Ackerman. Do you still sell them?
A most striking young woman came in and purchased my last one.
Look out, Carver!
Tickle, 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 tickle.
Carver, enough!
You were going to cut my throat.
Got a bit carried away, I suppose.
All right, miss, what's your name?
Lilith Fontenoy. I had to be sure Hornsby was dead.
And why? An innocent professor.
My work is done. I've nothing to say.
Something long dead now rages in my blood.
The suspect that turned himself in for Danderduff's murder. You said you wanted to see him. He's ready now.
Good evening, Carver.
Come to ask for my help again.
Well, dear listener, we've come to the end. The end of Carver Cranebottom, Bone Detective. And the end of my life. For you see, I, like many of you, have chosen to take my own life at the end of this final episode. Truly, there can be no greater joy in this life than to spend your final minutes with Carver Cranebottom, Bone Detective.
Carver Cranebottom Bone Detective is brought to you by Pinkle Scroat's Corned Beef Hash. It's as good as it sounds.
In the gloomy hollow of jail once more, Carver Cranebottom stands. No manacles this time, nor sausage-fingered cellmate eager to tear the throat from detractors real or imagined. Just the incessant pulsing of the blade on his hip, and the overly confident grin of his former patron sat before him. God, there's more to this. This is wretched timing. I just
I just ate a whole pudding saucer of sow's cheek, and now I'm afraid I... Oh, God. Oh, God, it's like hot soup in a wool sock. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, God. Anyway, Carver's there, and Dandadaff's there, and... I'll be back.
Wes, what the devil is happening here?
Carver, you old slowpoke. It took you long enough.
What? What is this?
This? You mean me? This is Dr. Wesley Dandadaff.
Dr. Dandadaff is dead.
Is he?
I bloody well hope so. I was jailed for his murder.
Ah, yes. Sorry about that. But, as you can see, I am not dead.
But I saw you.
You saw me dead?
I saw you throw yourself from the window.
Exactly. You saw me jump, but you did not see me land. I fell upon a canopy and rolled safely away. My body was declared dead by a coroner, who was an old friend, and I was out of the mortuary and back to my home by daybreak. With Deborah's help, of course. You remember Deborah, don't you?
How could I forget him?
You couldn't.
Good God, what is he doing here?
Sorry, I thought you saw him.
How could I see him? He was standing in the shadows.
I did say, you remember Deborah, don't you?
Yes, but I thought that was just because you were referencing him in your story.
Sorry. I could have helped with this in my opening, but honestly, I didn't see him there either. Also, I had to diarrhea.
He's very still and very quiet.
Oh, kind of like the way a butler should be.
What is he even doing here? There's nothing to buttle in a jail.
Oh, so now you know what needs buttling and what doesn't.
All right. Let's just get it together. Really, I wanted to say thank you, Carver.
Thanks for what?
For the warning. For bringing me the cipher. For saving my life.
I don't understand.
Of course you don't, poor boy. That much is clear. You couldn't know it at the time, but Professor Hornsby, that poor fellow who wrote the cipher, was a long-ago colleague of mine. And thankfully, he found a way to warn me.
Warn you of what?
The Tickler's grin.
What of it?
You mean, what of her?
I don't think I do mean that.
The Tickler's grin is a female assassin on some convoluted mission to execute archaeologists.
What?
In fact, I'm quite certain she's the one who offed poor Hornsby's team the night before you came blubbering to me.
Blubbering?
Did he stutter?
What?
You were kind of blubbering, Carver.
What is he doing?
I think he's making whale sounds. Are you making whale sounds, Deborah?
I'm making whale sounds.
Good man.
For his blubbering.
Yeah, I got it.
Now, Carver, this assassin, this Tickler's grin...
I can't believe the Tickler's grin is an assassin.
What did you think she was?
Well, I thought... That is...
Oh, Carver, poor dear. Perhaps you had best leave detecting to the professionals.
But I thought my expertise, you see, was critical in...
Carver, a bone detective? Really? No, dear boy.
I'm not...
My poor, dear, helpless, hopeless boy. You're just as lost as ever.
I am not.
What's that?
The Tickler's grin, or so I thought.
Ah, curious-looking pig sticker, to be sure. And probably quite dangerous in the right hands. But the true Tickler's grin is deadlier still. But for whatever reason, she couldn't finish the job that night. Old Hornsby somehow managed to escape. But I understand she's since abducted him. Now I'm afraid I'll be next, which is why I brought myself here. No safer place than surrounded by coppers, eh?
And here I thought you came to exonerate me of a murder I did not commit.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, yes, that as well, of course.
Well, I have some good news for you, Wes.
You have no need to fear. Your assassin has been captured.
What's that?
At the hands of the supposedly incapable bone detective before you.
You?
And you were right. We found her just after she killed Professor Hornsby. But she's here now, captured and shackled.
Then you've led her straight to me. Come, Deborah, let's away.
But Wes...
It's all right, Carver lad, but no one is safe around her. Least of all me. As I said, you couldn't have known, poor boy, but you had best come along. I have something else I think you'll want to see.
What is it?
That she-devil. Well, she was only interested in slaughtering Hornsby and his team. The bones they dug were then left to be picked by common brigands.
Bone thieves?
If there are bone detectives, there must be bone thieves, eh? Well, these thieves were obviously in over their heads. Soon enough, they were desperate to sell off the lot. I was one of the first they came to with their goods.
You mean...
That's right, Carver. I've got your bones.
The three dashed from Scotland Yard to Dandeduff's waiting carriage, which carried them on a wending, weaving journey through the city's chaotic cluster to the opening country. Just as the sun sank and great thunderheads puffed in like the black locomotives of some foul-tempered titan, the sky cracked, bellowed and fountained forth a torrent that washed the whole kingdom wet. Carl Cranebottom's teeth chattered from the damp and cold and the wobbling wheels hammering, while Dr. Dandeduff got a really nice foot rub from Deborah the spooky butler. It was kind of aggressive, but there was no eye contact, so it wasn't, like, homoerotic. Just a totally normal deep-tissue rope-down from a femininely named, significantly older manservant. When at last the carriage slowed, Carver peered through the spitting rain and saw a huge tent erected in the open bluster of the fields. Figures moved about before it, sparking torches to ward off the coming night. Carver followed Dandeduff silently, as Deborah began quietly mouthing instructions to the various men who bustled about. All wore dark, fabriced mantles to shield them from the pounding rain. Once inside, Carver halted in awe of the sight before him, the partially assembled skeleton of a gargantuan beast. Workmen were hauling and setting bones up and down the scaffolding that climbed to the tent's peak.
Unbelievable! It's enormous. But what is it exactly?
We're not entirely certain yet.
A mammoth? A brontosaur?
Perhaps something yet undiscovered.
But why have you brought it out here into the wilderness? This should be in a museum with a team of studied experts analyzing every detail.
I need not remind you, Carver, that these bones are not technically mine. The nature of the proceedings demands a secluded location.
Secluded indeed. But Wes, how on earth did you transport everything here?
Here we are now.
The thunder roared louder and louder until it seemed some horn-hound Nordic god must be waiting just outside. And as Carver's chest cavity buzzed and his teeth shook, a huge panel of canvas lifted to the back side of the tent, and through it came a great hulking machine. It spurted black smoke like the storm clouds farther without, and the smell of its vapors caused Carver to cough and the surrounding men to cover their faces. Carver soon followed suit and watched through tear-washed eyes as the machine delivered the horrible, gleaming skull of the long-dead behemoth.
What the devil?
An excavator stronger than 10,000 men! The absolute latest from Tusk and Talon.
An absolute nightmare of stench and sound is more like.
The price we must pay. Would you like a closer look?
No, thanks. I can feel it all quite sufficiently.
The machine reversed course, backed out of the tent, and took its thunder and stench with it.
Come, Carver. Let's see what's to be seen.
What's the stone structure at the base there?
Ah, a perceptive fellow you are. The ruins of some long-raised fortress or some such thing. I thought it would provide a sturdy foundation for the assembly. I used to ride out here, you see, before you were born. Come along.
Dandeduff led Carver up the rickety scaffolding as the storm continued its assault. The wind found its way within and shook the timbers, and the thunder seemed to stir the very earth itself.
at the top of the rigging. The workmen were hoisting the skull into its resting position. Carver watched with glistening eyes as the form of the monstrous skeleton began to crystallize. Suddenly, a commotion erupted below. Ropes were pulled taut and tied off as several men went hurrying out.
What is it you see?
What?
What do you see?
It ends here.
Wes, look out!
One of the workmen had lifted his hood to reveal a beautiful woman's face. A pistol appeared from within the folds of her mantle just as Carver caught her arm. The arm of Lilith Fontenoy.
Move, you fool!
Lilith tried to disentangle herself from Carver's grasp, but Dandadov swiftly knocked the pistol from her hand and spun her around, holding her firmly from behind.
Here now, Carver! Here she is, as I predicted, wanting to snuff out my life!
Well?
He told you I want him dead, but he hasn't told you why.
She belongs in Bedlam, a regular lunatic like poor Professor Hornsby, whom she heartlessly murdered.
He's certainly a fountain of knowledge, isn't he?
Quiet, you demoness! Carver, get her, Carver!
What do you mean, get her?
I mean quit fondling that old blade and use it!
Carver looked to his own right hand and saw the ancient dagger, what he had called the Tickler's Grin, clenched in his fist. He hadn't recalled drawing it.
She'll kill you after she's done with me. Do it now.
Suddenly a flurry of shouts blow as a figure stumbled to the base of the scaffolding, clutching his stomach, leaking gouts of blood. When he lifted his head to shout, they could see it was Constable Ned Runyon.
Carver! She got me, old sot! She got me good!
That is dedication.
You did this to him?
I did just what they thought I would. I played right into their plan, just like you did.
What are you talking about?
She's mad, Carver. Now end this. I can't hold her much longer.
Finish her, Carver, for she's surely finished me.
I did no such thing.
She escaped and followed you here, Carver. She didn't count on me following her. Of course, I didn't count on her gutting me.
Carver, look at me. We are just pawns, and they played us brilliantly. Look here, see my wrists? Bound in rope. Do you think they tie you up with rope at Scotland Yard?
She's a wily one, Carver. Bound herself so she can try to escape once more. Use the blade, man.
The truth is, he brought me here, that constable down there. He let me escape. I didn't realize until now. He knew you'd be here. They all knew. This is just as they planned.
Quiet! Now finish her!
Finish her, Carver!
It's all lies! He could throw me to my death right now if he wanted to, but he won't. He's telling you to do it. But why? You see this horrible skeleton they're assembling?
I said,
well,
quiet!
Dr. Dandadov slammed Lilith's head into the piping of the scaffold. Her face dropped and her knees buckled as Dandadov struggled to keep her upright.
There. That's better.
Why don't you toss her over, Wes?
And steal your satisfaction? This woman is the reason you've been sent reeling like a top these past several days. Her treachery nearly deprived the world of this incredible archaeological discovery. And to top it off, she's nearly killed all of us several times over. She said you were a pawn, and she was right, Carver. But she's the one who played you. And now, dear lad, you are owed the privilege to bring it to an end. Now, will you take it or not? Fine, then. Off she goes.
Dr. Dandadov lifted Lilith's feet onto the edge of the scaffold and let her dangle precariously, holding her only by the rope that bound her wrists. She leaned out in a dancer's pose, eyes rolling, limbs lifeless.
No, Wes, stop. I have felt much like a pawn, and I am owed that satisfaction.
Excellent. Now go to it, man.
Master!
What? Is that you, Deborah?
Yes.
What is it? Can't you see we're at the climax here?
Oh, sorry. I'll ask you later.
No. You have my attention now. You might as well ask.
No. It's okay. You're busy.
Are you sulking now?
I am not sulking.
Sounds like sulking to me, Deb.
Don't call me Deb.
Sounds like sulking to me, Debbie.
No!
Deborah, get a grip. Now, didn't you have something to ask me?
I forgot.
So Deborah, the spooky butler, ran off, tears stinging his tired old eyes, fleeing a world that would never understand him. Also, Dr. Dandeduff was still dangling a freaking half-conscious human woman from the top of a towering scaffold.
Sorry, where were we?
You were about to exact your revenge on this treacherous succubus, I believe.
Carver!
Oh, what now?
Who's that? Basil?
It's me, Carv. It's Baz.
Razzleton? You sopping git?
Onion? What happened, Ned? Did she slip your fetters?
Hush, Basilton. Let me pass in peace.
What's she doing up there? Carver, what's happening?
Really? Seriously? My final request, the last thing I ask for before I die, and you can't do it.
Runyon, you had her secure for your whole journey. How did she escape?
Basilton! Basilton! Please! Shut it! I'm dying. Please!
Of course, of course. Let me tend to your wounds, dear Ned.
Really? Now you're gonna tend my wounds, really?
Boy, you're in a mood today, aren't you?
I'm dying.
Carver! You know, you were always like a son to me.
Yes, I know, Wes.
So I've always felt responsible for you somehow.
I know, Wes.
I wasn't sure you had what it takes to make it in this dreadful world.
I do, Wes.
From the start, you were soft, broody, without bite.
Stop it, Wes.
Witty, without willpower.
Please, Wes.
Weak. Always so weak.
Stop.
Weak, weak, weak.
Enough!
Carver Cranebottom tore the woman from Dr. Dandeduff's grasp and held the blade to his old mentor's throat.
Carver!
Basil!
Doctor!
Master!
Deborah!
Narrator! Shit! Sorry.
Weak, eh? Who's weak now, you pathetic old goat? Who's weak now? Tickle, tickle, tickle.
That's it, Carver. You should be angry. Being bested by a woman. How humiliating.
Carver!
I would think having a knife to your throat might be more humiliating.
Carver!
I have nothing to be ashamed of.
Carver!
Yes, Baz, what is it?
It's Runyon. He has no wounds.
Damn it, Basilton!
What's that?
He has no wounds. See here.
Constable Basil Basilton had lifted his partner's blood-stained shirt to reveal an unscathed belly. A belly that was perhaps a bit more portly than you'd expect, of course, given Constable Runyon's trim outward appearance. But a belly free of any stabs, punctures, slashes, gashes, tears, rips, holes, cuts, slits, splits, gaps, cracks, breaks, pits, rifts, craters, trenches, breaches, scratches, nicks, grazes, lacerations, incisions, or wounds of any kind. In other words, he was uninjured.
What's this?
Carver, I can explain.
Basilton, you fool!
You can explain it to the devil when you meet him at the gates of hell.
Well, that's just it, Carver. You see...
Then Dr. Wesley Dandeduff was borne upon the air, limbs aflutter, as though he might unexpectedly sprout wings and float to safety. Instead, he fell like a stone and landed with a horrific thud. Runyon sprung to his feet and ran off, leaving Basil grasping after him. Carver used his blade to cut the ropes that bound Lilith Fontenoy's wrists and led her down the scaffold. When the shaking couple met Constable Basilton, they saw that the entire site had been abandoned.
What is happening here, Carve? What is all this?
The bones we've been seeking. Dandeduff's had them assembled. Where's everyone gone?
They fled before the ritual began.
What is she saying?
Let's get her out of here.
The trio made their way from the tent. The rain had ceased, but now night fully swallowed the heath. Through the utter blackness, they followed the sound of nervous horses and located a single remaining carriage, Dr. Dandeduff's. Basil acted as driver while Carver and Lilith recovered in the back.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, thank you. You believed me.
I don't know what to believe.
You averted an unimaginable disaster.
By killing my patron, my mentor?
He was using you.
He was the only father I've ever known.
He adopted you.
Beatrice Cranebottom adopted me, but Wes was my benefactor. He oversaw my care.
financed my education.
Then he has been using you since you were a child.
See here, that's quite enough.
Your whole life was sculpted for that moment on the scaffolding. My capture, the bones, that dagger. It was all arranged.
Arranged for what?
A reawakening. Surely the matron of the Inn of the Circling Serpent told you. The old gods, you are the last of a long line, as am I.
A long line of what?
You were the executioners. We were the sacrifices.
This is madness.
If you had spilt my blood with that blade upon those bones, it would be. But luckily for everyone, we've escaped it. We're safe now.
Carver!
What the blazes?
The horses! Somehow they've broken free!
The carriage went careening on, but the pair of horses that had been pulling the rig dashed madly into the night, dragging their lashings with them. When the carriage rolled to a complete stop, Carver brought forth a small lantern from within, and the thoroughly spooked trio assessed their situation.
The shafts just splintered off.
Looks like someone worked them over before we departed. See the chops here? An edge tool, perhaps a hatchet or a spade.
Why not just let the horses loose at the site?
Perhaps our arrival at the carriage caught the perpetrator in the middle of the job.
But where could he have gone without us seeing him unless...
Deborah, the spooky butler, dusty and disheveled, pouts from the undercarriage, wielding a hatchet.
Carver, look out!
You monster!
Good heavens!
Deborah leapt upon Carver Cranebottom, his crazed eyes wet with hot tears.
Help! I must thank you, Lilith. Ms. Fontenoy.
Consider it my thanks, Mr. Cranebottom.
Dr. Cranebottom.
Don't push it. Here, take my hand. Let's get you up from the dirt.
Yes, of course. Now, let's away from this terrible place.
Yes, please. And into a pair of dry pants.
Eh?
My pants are wet from all the rain.
No, they're not.
Yes, yes, come along. Oh, my. My hand is wet with blood. Miss Fontenoy, I think you might be bleeding.
What?
I'm sure you're all right. Just here on my palm from where you helped me up, see?
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
What's the matter?
My wrist. From when you cut the ropes that bound them. You must have nicked my wrist. Oh, the ritual is complete.
What does that mean?
He's returned.
What ancient terror has been awoken? Will our heroic trio be able to stop it? Will Basildon ever conquer his fear, P?
Carver Cranebottom Bone Detective is brought to you by Schmeep's Heap of Cheap Sheep Sleep. Bet you didn't know you could bottle sheep sleep? Well, you can. And Schmeep's is the cheapest heap of sheep sleep you've ever kept.
Well, dear listener, thank you for tuning in. And remember, Carver Cranebottom Bone Detective will return. Wait, what? No, that wasn't... There's to be more Carver Cranebottom? Oh, but I've already ingested the poison. Oh, God, no, 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 dear God, no. Oh, please. Oh, the antidote. The antidote. Where have I placed the antidote? Oh, God. Oh, it's starting. It's starting. Oh, the burn. Oh, whatever you do, dear listener, don't be like me. Stay alive. Stay alive. And prepare yourself. Be ready for more Carver Cranebottom Bone Detective. Mother...
Alchemy is Mr. Thomas Hodgkin, Mr. Andrew Kane, Mr. Andy Wertner, and Mr. Ryan Whalen. Carver Cranebottom Bone Detective story by Mr. Wertner and Mr. Kane. This episode written and directed by Mr. Kane. Featuring the voices of Rude Alchemy with Miss Julia Stroop as Lilith. Music composed by Mr. Benjamin J. Robb. For a listing of Creative Commons sound effects attributions, visit rudealchemy.com/attributions. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
And finally, honestly, I want to thank you, Denise. Now we are both free to live as we choose. You with Stephen, and I, as the beautiful, strong woman I've always known, lives inside me. I wish you peace, Denise. I wish you peace.
Apparently, you enjoy listening to audio dramas, since you're hearing this message. I'll keep it short so you can get back to the fun stuff. If you would like to see and experience how all these stories, voices, sound effects, and music come together to create Theater of the Mind, make plans to visit the Modern Audio Drama Convention in Halifax, Nova Scotia, July 24th through 26th, 2020. Meet the creators. Find out how to write, record, mix, sweeten, and produce movies that play in your head. See what the voices you hear actually look like. We never look like we sound. For all the details, visit madcon.com. That's M-A-D, as in modern audio drama, then dash, as in dash on over, then con, as in convention, duh, then dot, as in it'll be the most fun you've had in a while, period, then com, as in come on over, we'll love to see you. Madcon, your ears and brain will thank you.